Good morning. This is the KPFK local station board. This is Michael Novick, the chair. We're having a special LSB meeting on the finances of the station. The local station board is mandated under the bylaws to do a quarterly review of the station's finances and budget to submit to the Pacifica National Board. So we'll be looking today at that, the first quarter of the fiscal year that we're in, fiscal year 2021. That would be October, November, December of 2020. And we do have some additional financial data. Janine Roan, our secretary, will call the roll.
Thank you. Michael Adler.
Present.
Alan Beek.
I see Alan is muted. There you go.
Beek, present.
Thank you. Fred Blair.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Child.
Sandy requested an excused absence.
Okay. Bella DeSoto.
You're muted, Bella. I can see her, but she's still muted. Bella, can you unmute?
Should I come back?
Yeah, just come back to her.
Okay. Jan Goodman? Eric C. Jacobson?
Here.
Thank you. Avelia Jones? Ali Lexa?
Ali just emailed requesting an excuse absence.
Okay, thank you. Barbara Marbach? Michael Novick is
present.
Present. James Osborne? I know that he was on the call and was labeled. I don't see him right now, though.
Right.
Okay, he must have fallen off. Robert Payne. Lydia Ponce. Lawrence Reyes.
Present.
Thank you. Rocio Rivas.
I am present.
Thank you. Paul Roberson.
Present.
Thank you. Janine Roan is present. Mansoor Sabah. Oscar Uyawa.
Present.
Thank you. Polina Vasiliev. Beth Von Guten.
Present.
Thank you. Harvey Wasserman. Okay, and Kiana Williams. And also Anya Fields. And I believe we have Bella DeSoto on.
I am on my phone, and I'm having problems with my video.
Oh, Alexa sent an email asking for an excused absence. I move that we grant him the excused absence.
Yeah, Lawrence had said that.
And do we have James Osborne back on? He was on originally, but I don't have him now. I'll text him. But we have 12 out of the 24 present.
Yeah, so that's not a quorum yet, unfortunately.
Because, leave a message here or text.
Also, I have a text from Avelia that's saying that she doesn't feel great today. she'll attempt to join after she feels better.
Janine, could you please mute people who are not speaking?
You are muted. You are unmuted.
I've muted everyone and unmuted Michael so to solve the problem.
Yeah, I had myself muted because I was...
Thanks.
All I got was voicemail, sorry.
Let me, I'm texting James Osborne to find out why he fell off.
Drumming. Somebody please mute them.
That's me typing.
Chair, I just got a call from Lydia. She's trying to zoom in, so that'll give us a call.
Lawrence, Lydia is not. Lydia is not a member of the LSB. That will not.
No,
give
Lydia
us call.
Ponce. Correct.
Lydia Ponce.
Lydia Ponce.
Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
Can you check the waiting room, Janine?
There's no one in the waiting room at the moment.
Lydia should begin on now. I just sent her the link again.
Michael, this is Ruth.
Yeah.
I just was going to say, was there some confusion about whether this was a special finance meeting or an LSB meeting? Because I got, you know, a notice from Bella that it was a special finance, and I got a notice from Mansoor that it was an LSB. So I'm just wondering if that's the reason why people aren't, some of those LSB members aren't here, because they're boycotting a finance meeting, or I'm just throwing that out.
It's a special meeting of the local station board to deal with the station finances. Again, the LSB is mandated to look at and evaluate the station budget and finances every quarter and submit that evaluation to the Pacific National Board. So we had tried to schedule this twice before. We postponed it because of the ongoing fund drive. There was an effort to postpone it yet again because we could not get the management or people from the accounting on this call, but we are proceeding with it because we do have all the figures that have been submitted for the first quarter and beyond. Some right. people are objecting to that. Mansoor's message was that it's not a finance committee meeting, which it's not. It is a local station board meeting, but it's a local station
okay,
board meeting.
Okay, sorry. Thanks.
Sure.
Thanks for the clarification.
We have somebody that joined the meeting that's labeled iPhone G, and so there's no way of me knowing if they could identify themselves if that's Lydia, because she was going to call in. I did hear back from James Osborne, and he has some family issues, which is why he had to get off the call.
Okay, so that now says Lydia. Is that correct? Lydia Ponce, can you...
Good morning. Yes, it took me a minute.
Okay, great. So we do have...
chopping a salad, and my hands were wet. Sorry about that.
Sure. Thank you. So we do have quorum then. And we'll proceed. I heard a motion to for the excused absence request that we got, which were, I believe, Ali Alexa and Sandy Childs. And you just said that Jim Osborne had to leave the call for a family issue. So I'll accept the motion for those three requests.
Is Chair, Velia Jones also requested.
Okay. I'm sorry, I can't. Okay. The motion for those four. Do we have a motion to excuse those absences? Anybody can unmute themselves.
So moved. So
thank moved. You, Lydia. Okay. Any objection?
I make a motion to excuse those absences. This is Alan Beek.
Okay, thanks. I think Lydia moved, so we'll take you as a second. And is there any objection?
Bella objects.
Okay, if there's a second objection, we'll vote. Otherwise, we'll note the objection and grant the excuses. Okay, hearing none, we'll consider those excused, those four. That was Sandy Childs, Ali Alexa, Avelia Jones, and Jim Osborne, for the record. So, again, our main item, our only item of business at the special meeting is the question of KPFK's finances, in particular, an evaluation of the first quarter. There was a link posted to some of the documents just now in the chat, if you have it. It's a file. The treasurer, unfortunately, Fred Blair, said that he can't get onto his computer to look at the files. But the chair of the Finance Committee, Bill DeSoto, is with us, and she's on her phone and her computer. So maybe we can get a report from the Finance Committee, which did meet last Wednesday, to look at those financial documents and others. Bella, did you want to start us off?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Somehow I'm muted on the video. We did meet on the 10th of February, of March. We did receive a second injection from the Payroll Protection Federal Plan funding. The allocation was $350,000. For KPFK, KPFK being one of the largest recipients of those funds. A portion was shaved off from the top to cover some back payments that were due to the national office. The balance was $300,032 for covering payroll at KPFK for about 3 months. However, if we put that aside, the station is still running in deficit, and it has been consistently. And what we are showing right here is that even though, as of June last year, a mandate from the National Pacifica National Board, a motion was passed that KPFK needed to... make extreme reductions of at least 30% in starting with this personnel cost. The cuts have been very few and have not been done accordingly, and we need to make more cuts. Originally, I had suggested 70% across the board of all the expenditures at KPFK, because KPFK's costs have been overwhelmingly higher, much higher than the income. So this is why the deficit has been so consistent and high. Right now, we've only had four layoffs and some hours cut. It's not sufficient to sustain the high cost. And the revenue has been steadily declining. Mr. Alan Beek and Janine Ron, members of the Finance Committee, and myself have been working, creating some worksheets and proposed budgets. I recorded everything into QuickBooks from 2016 forward. I recently submitted a trove of documentations to the LSB, starting 2 weeks ago, documenting everything that was going on and where we are, the status. I also submitted recent fund drive documentations for February, which were dismal. I don't know how this very high goal was decided on, 700,000, but we only came in below a half of that. The cost absorbed most of the income, so we're still upside down on that. Finally, Allegiance was able to document the cost for that funder. Unfortunately, I cannot provide everything right here, and because I'm having video problems, I was not able to give you those numbers, but if we can come back to it, I'd be happy to but all that information was submitted before. I sent fiscal year 2020. Our fiscal year starts October 1st through September 30th. So I submitted from QuickBooks the balance sheet and the P&L for fiscal year 2020. I have not been able to start recording individual months for the fiscal year 2021. But the deficit for year ending 2020, the net income was under, if you can believe that, close to 700. It is unbelievable that we have been managing.
Bella, we lost the last figure you said, but it was 700,000. Is that correct?
No,
under 700,000.
Net loss for 2020 fiscal year is $697,577. My assertion is that funds have been shifting somewhere else because they're not in KPFK's coffer. And unfortunately, because we are a radio station, everything is sewn at the hip with the programming. I also recently submitted the new programming grid with all the new changes that the general manager acting.
Okay,
Bella,
thank you.
It's not germane. Thank
yes,
you. Fred, there's no need
germane.
To call out.
I needed to make that announcement. Okay.
I'm going to take the floor for a minute and give a little further information. So,
Michael, are you going to argue?
People may recall
Michael.
That the Pacifica National Board in June of last year mandated a cut in expenses at KPFK of 30% based on anticipated drop in revenues, even from the previous inadequate revenues.
Michael, are you going to call on the treasurer?
Okay, you sure. Why don't you go ahead first? Go ahead,
the host would like you to unmute your microphone. You can press star 6 to unmute.
Sorry, I had muted. I had muted everyone again.
You are unmuted.
Janine, would you stop muting me?
Yeah, go ahead, Fred.
That's not,
yeah.
It's yeah, not,
she no. muted everybody, Fred, just to prevent trouble. Go ahead, proceed.
Okay. As I said, I don't have access to my spreadsheets for the P&Ls via my desktop computer, but I'll go from memory. KPFK has had three fund drives in fiscal year FY21, which we're currently in. We're having a fund drive every 2 months. We had an October fund drive, a December fund drive, and a February fund drive. I can't give you the days on the fund drive. I believe this February fund drive was 36 days from February 2nd through March 7th. And I believe the total that we were given by the business manager, Barry Brooks, was on the order of $435,000 or pledge during the February fund drive. The daily average for the February fund drive was $11,500 per day. Though the drive started out very good at a daily average of around $16,000, over the length of the drive, the daily average was reduced to $11,500 a day, which is approximately the same daily average as the December fund drive and the I believe the October fund drive was a little higher. I don't have the income as of January 1st, because the latest P&L that we've gotten from our financial consultants, NETA, was the January P&L. But the interesting thing about the fund drive is that we've had Bill DeSoto, the temporary chair of the finance committee, made some incorrect statements. There has been 6 layoffs since starting, I believe, in November, and the last 2 were, I believe, in January. The amount reduction in salary, or excuse me, the amount in payroll costs to Pacifica are approximately $330,000 from those 6 layoffs. That includes health benefits and salary and severance pay. So the important thing about the latest fund drive is that there's no change essentially over the last year, going back to March of 2020 when the COVID-19 lockdown started. So the reductions in staff have helped in reducing the monthly operational costs to KPFK, but there's essentially no change in our fundraising. And fund drive income is 80% of the income of the station, under normal circumstances. The 2 PPP loans that we got from the federal government, the PPP 1, which was $1.2 million, which I believe is we got in June of last year, and the PPP 2, which we got in this February, are the only things that are preventing us from really hitting a financial wall and having the station collapse completely. Without that money, we would be in really, really serious straits. But that money is only temporary. So looking at fund drive income at this point, there's been no improvement in fund drive income since the collapse of March of last year. And the fund drive income is insufficient to cover KPFK's monthly operational costs. KPFK has been running since March approximately anywhere between an $80,000 to $100,000 a month deficit in income. The cuts in payroll have reduced that deficit by about $27,000 a month starting in March. So I hope these numbers are useful to indicate the depth of the problem with KPFK's finances. I'm doing this extemporaneously, and I hope this has been useful. I'll turn the meeting back over to Michael Novick, the chair.
Yeah, thank you. So I did want to give a few other points that I was trying to make earlier. As I say, the PNB did mandate a 30% cut in expenses for KPFK based on anticipated revenues and previous historically proven revenues given the pandemic. There have been cuts, some cuts to operating expenses and some cuts to payroll. There were four staff positions that were eliminated, and then two management positions were also eliminated. Those are the six that Fred referred to. The benefits of that have not yet been manifested in the payroll. If you can look at the documents that I think Hara Handala posted a link to, basically payroll costs have actually increased for the first 4 months of this fiscal year because we're paying out severances and unused vacation time and so on. So those will be reflected, however, in future lower payroll costs, but not sufficient to meet the needs of a balanced budget. The KPFK local station board suggested a schedule of fundraising days, basically somewhat similar to what's happening, but fewer, with the idea that hopefully if you had fewer days spent in on-air fundraising, we would actually improve the daily take on the fund drives, because the historical pattern has shown that as we increase the number of days spent in fund drive, we lose listeners and we actually reduce how much money comes in each day. It's kind of a vicious downward spiral. And that's been manifested this year. The local station board has suggested six fund drives of 3 weeks duration, 21 days at a time for a total of 126 days. Last year, the station spent, I believe, 165 days, and it looks like it's going to be even higher this year. In response to Bella's query about why the 700,000 goal was set for this fund drive, general manager's intention, as he expressed in one of his reports to us, was that he wanted to try to get a longer time between fund drives so that the station could better prepare for more effective fund drive. And so the goal was set to allow a longer period. Basically, what happens now is that the fund drive, each fund drive brings in just about enough money to cover previous commitments for premiums that people had requested to cover the expenses for the month that we're operating in during the fund drive, and then the next month, and then we're immediately required to have yet another fund drive. So the goal of 700,000 was the idea we could have a longer time spent between drives to give the station more time to fulfill those previous requests and to give more training. But we were not able to achieve that. So the current drive, as Fred said, had about a $12,000 a day, or a little under actually that. And then for the year so far, the three fundraisers we've had, it's under $12,000. The projection that the LSB had tried to rely on was a $15,000 a day. People have said that the first week of this last February drive was very good because it had a $16,000 a day average. But against historical backgrounds, KPFK used to do $40,000 a day fund drives, and then it dropped down to about $25,000 a day. So $16,000 a day is not a very, very good fund drive. It reflects the weakness and the lack of audience, actually, that we have. And that we're going to the same well over and over again to try to get additional pledges from people who have already pledged. And that's been a, downward spiral. As I say, it's we need to figure out a way to increase the audience. I think that was the reference that Bella made to the programming. I see a few things in the chat. Says the fiscal year 2020 KPFK payroll is a little over $2 million. If, as John Gary said, this is for 15 full-time equivalent staff, that's $139,000 each. That it's not the case. KPFK had close to 30 full-time FTEs in previous years. I think it was 27 or 28 FTEs, and it's been reduced, as I say, by about six. So that would still leave us at about, I think one of those six positions is a part-time position. It was a half-time. So it's reduced by five or six FTEs. It's still probably about over 20, I think, at this point. Again, the payroll, the current payroll also reflects severances for those, so it's a little deceptive. But the payroll is still excessive compared to what the capacity of the station to currently raise funds is. I'm wondering if James Sagerton, who is the chair of the National Finance Committee, wants to say anything about what the NFC has done in relation to APFK.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. First, I'd like to say that I applaud both you and Fred for your summaries, and Bella as well, although there were a couple of things I think I caught in Bella's statements that were just a little bit off. And one, Bella, maybe she can correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought she said that the January 11th PNB resolution requested KPFK to make cuts in personnel, but that resolution actually only suggested cuts. It didn't specify where they would have to come from. I would agree that at KPFK, the other costs are relatively fixed and they're reasonable. And they're more difficult to decrease. But Bella, did you say that? Can we let her answer? I don't want to misquote her.
Can you hear me?
Uh-oh. You're echoing, Bella. I think you're getting audio over both your phone and your computer.
Well, why don't I go on and she can come back when she gets ready or, sorted out.
Go ahead.
I think she also mentioned that the PPP would be good for about 3 months, and that's right, but it's actually, if we use every single penny of the PPP that we got, it would cover 2.5 months of payroll. But we're using some of it for non-payroll expenses, and that is covered under the forgiveness provisions of the Payroll Protection Plan, but it's just a little bit less than, 3 months that we got, and we're using less than that to actually apply to payroll directly, so it's more like maybe 2 months or less that we have coverage for. That's about it. And as far as on the national level, we did have meetings with three of the four KPFK directors, myself, the chair of the board, I was there because as chair of the NFC, and at the time, Grace Aaron, who was chair, or was the secretary, rather, of the PNB, and we did come up with a plan for reductions at KPFK, which would have gotten us to 800,000 in cuts as opposed to the 1.2 that was estimated to be needed, but that was not applied. It was chosen not to go that route, and we have the cuts that we've had so far. I would agree with Bella's analysis that those cuts were not adequate. We need to do more, unfortunate and actually devastating as it is, to make those kinds of cuts. Other than that, at the National Finance Committee, we're waiting to see if KPFK will be able to submit a budget to us through the normal processes. You know, usually the general manager and the business manager will come up with a draft for a budget and bring that to the finance committee, and the finance committee will work it over or work it up and then submit it to the LSB, and from there it goes to the National Finance Committee, which then reviews it and passes it on to the PNB with suggestions for appropriate action. That's what we want to do. That's what we're supposed to do according to the bylaws. And that's really, I think, the democratic way to do it, to have it come up from the ground up from the stations. However, we do have the ability, if nothing comes from the stations, to try to come up with a budget on our own in the NFC. Again, I don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. We can do that if we have to. And then we would use whatever people have come up with. And I know that there's been some various iterations of a budget that have been rejected, and various people have their own thoughts on it. So we would try to take all of that information together and put it into some kind of a budget. Again, we don't want to do that. We do have other things that we need to do. At the National Finance Committee, we have the KPFT budget we still have to work out. We still have to go through. We have the KPFA budget. We have to review it still. We have the budget for the Pacifica Radio Archives. We still have to work on the National Office budget and the Central Services formula, which are very intricately intertwined. We have to know how much the National Office will need before we know how much the stations will need to pay in Central Services to provide the funds to do what the National Office needs to do. So we're not, you know, in any great rush to push KPFK or to try and, you know, take away the right of the station to come up with its own budget. But there is some urgency about getting budgets at this time, because we are attempting to get an extension from our creditors. And to do that, you know, the best, we can put our best foot forward, the more likely it is that they are to come up with an agreeable solution for us, temporary though it may be. And so we're trying to get as many budgets in place as possible. So, again, we don't have to do this immediately. We're about halfway through our budgeting process. But, you know, we would hope that something would come from KPFK, you know, fairly soon, within a matter of a few weeks.
I see a couple of hands up. I just want to comment on the fact that we are talking about the budget for the fiscal year we're in, which is almost half over.
That's right.
Just so everybody's clear, because very shortly we need to start drafting budgets for the next fiscal year, which begins in October of 2021, the 2022 fiscal year. And normally we start that process in about June to try to develop plans for what the next fiscal year would be. So I appreciate that. Sure. Go ahead.
If I could just respond quickly to that. You're absolutely right. And my plan is, I don't know if the committee will follow my plan eventually, but the idea would be as soon as we get done with this year, we turn around and immediately begin on next year, and hopefully it will go a little quicker. We will have had NEDA, the National Educational Telecommunications Association, who's doing our auditing and also
accounting.
Doing our accounting. I'm sorry, they're also doing our human resources work and our payroll. We're hoping that they will be able to turn around audits and accounting faster and more accurately, because they've been with us for a while now, and so they've been able to develop some, they have the information. They don't have to go out and get the information. They have it already. And just finally, I want to say that for the last 4 years, we've had no budgets approved by the Pacifica National Board, and we've had some that came to the National Finance Committee and got approved, a few, but this is the first year that we are actually getting budgets passed and approved by the PMB, and that's a good thing. We're late. It's not, you know, we're obviously, I'd like to say better late than never, but that sounds trite. Believe it or not, what we're doing is an improvement over what we have done. And again, I hope to turn around immediately and start working on the next round to actually bring that in time. And the main thing, there's two main things. One is the extension of our credit, and the other thing is the completion of our audits so that we can begin to apply for the CPB money, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting Community Service Grants, that we've lost about $7 million worth of over the past, seven or eight years, I guess it's been now.
I have hands up, so I'll stop you there if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I have Lawrence Reyes and then Bella. And then at some point, I think we'll take some public comment because people have been putting quite a bit of interesting information in the chat. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Yeah, thank you. I was also part of, me and Paulina was also part of that working group that attempted to come up with a more realistic accounting of to reduce expenses. And I didn't hear James mention that Paulina and I were also part of the power.
I did name three out of the four KPFK directors.
But you said, no, you named one.
You're right, I didn't name you. You're correct.
Yeah, one. You named Grace one. Aaron, which it's okay.
No, I named her as secretary. I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
It's okay. So I just wanted to respond a little bit to the chat. I think the directors are KPFK, we've been pretty transparent in reporting our financial situations and our political difficulties that we've been having. We also have reported that the IED is very challenged and that the board is also confined to, bad word, but it's confined to the parameters of the collective bargaining agreement. So you just can't make willy-nilly cuts without honoring the agreement, the collective bargaining agreement that has been made with the union. So in regards to expenses, because that stuff affects working conditions, right? And that's one of the things that unions stand up for, being a union guy myself. It's about working conditions, and if working conditions are affected, then everything has to go back to the table and be taken a look at. I also believe that Lydia Bertone is doing a banged up job. She is doing this pro bono, which I think is very important, because that's a savings of at least $90,000 to $110,000 a year, and not to include the fringes and all of that. So I think it's very noble of her. And she's been good at putting out a lot of the fires. As you know, there's a lot of fires in the network. And we also have a lot of debts that we have to pay. I saw something about having to pay netto. We had to pay netto because we were backlogged on paying them for their services. But I just want to say, as a person on the audit committee, I think it's very critical that we convene the audit committee, hopefully by the next P&B meeting, that we convene the audit committee, get the audit going. The audit's going right now. It's ongoing. So, but we need to convene the committee in order for us to do our due diligence in regards to which direction. And I hope for the listeners and the members that are in the Zoom, Grace, Paulina, myself, and even Jan Goodman, we have been reporting in regards to things that are going down at the Pacifica National Board. And I will continue to report that. We'll continue to be diligent in regards to sharing information that's not proprietary and does not expose us to legal liability. Thank you. I'm done, Michael.
I see Bella. Thank you. I see that Bella has a hand up.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. I took away my video, and I am on the phone now, so there's no disturbance. Unfortunately, I cannot share my screen. I wanted to make some correction, James Duggerton. I said across the board. I did not
Thank
say
you.
Specifically with personnel, yes. However, I'm going to come back to that in a moment, and I appreciate you acknowledging that the 30% just is not going to cut it. It was not sufficient from the very beginning, since I know locally the issues. January is running the total salaries, and this is including payroll taxes, contributions, health benefits, child care, is at $178,938.84. Now, when you look at the year to date, just 4 months into the fiscal year starting October 2020, we're now in, this is only through January. We are now in March. We still have not received the February numbers. It is running at a little bit over 35%. What that tells me is that this is unsustainable, that if we continue on this trend, we simply go into a precipice and it's just unbearable. So that is only for personnel. That's not accounting for all the other departments, administration, development, programming. Then when we look at this, at the income, reducing the income, the revenue for January was $147,492. This is unsustainable. And the reason why it was a little higher, it was inflated, is because we received that second PPP injection of fund for the payroll. I am glad James corrected that, because there was some argument back and forth at our recent finance committee, because I was saying that it would only cover 2.5 months, and the treasurer was argued that it would be 3 months. So now we know that it's even less time. So we have just a very tiny window to breathe, and if we do not turn this around, and my contention is that the personnel cost must be trimmed down much further. We still have a huge number of people on payroll. The other stations seem to be operating at a very reasonable rate with much less employment scheme. We should be able to do so also. So while we are reducing that, we need to then be reducing the other non-fixed expenditures, and this is where it's very critical. I also wanted to say that I sent to everybody a proposed budget that I worked out with Allenbeek, Mr. Allenbeek, one of our members at the Finance Committee, and the contention is that our revenue cannot be at 100%. We have to be realistic. So we came in with 60%. Hello?
Yeah, you there.
Oh, okay. There was a lot of noise there. With a 60% retention. So if we expect 60% of revenue and we reduce, we leave our national office payments, which is central services. We have obligations to the national office monthly, every station. If we go into our administration, our personnel, not personnel, our administration, development and programming, we reduce those three departments by 55%, and we reduce our personnel by 40%, by a further 40%, that we might be able to survive. And this is the proposed budget, because we have nothing else to cling on to. So I just wanted to say that. Also, the entire cost of our recent February premiums cost was $143,833.71. This is simply unsustainable. And we have no breathing room from these fund drives. We have exhausted, we continue exhausting our listenership, our membership. Our membership has dropped drastically. And again, I bring you to the reality. Everything is thrown at the hip to our programming. I'll stop there for a moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Bella. I have two other hands. I see Lydia Ponce and Janine Rohn. And then maybe we'll take some public comments after that.
Hi. Good morning, relatives. Sorry I was late. I apologize. As a somewhat newbie and looking at this through the lens of listening to KPFK, I'm going to say that to do things differently is key to the survival of the station. And I think that programming needs to be elevated in a way. Perhaps the fund drive we can call upon, I'm going to be bold and say, other unions. We have SAG, we have ASTRA, we have actors, musicians, professional people who we can call upon, at least I do. And that's what I wanted to bring to fundraising. And some of us share the same friends too. And I'm not saying that the rich and famous are going to save the station. What I'm saying is that the programming quality needs to maintain the past, live in the present, and look to the future. Because Sun Radio in Austin, Texas is solar powered, and they have a mutual aid campaign going on for people who work at restaurants and entertainment business and other small businesses. And it wasn't a lot of money. You know, they're light years ahead. We're talking Texas, like of all places. So my thoughts are that we should perhaps have programming committee and finance committee look where there are overlaps, gaps, and considerations, so we don't basically paint ourselves in the corner with less than favorable results in our next fund drive. We really need to do a 180. We can't remain the same and do it the same and expect better results or the same results. And I'm talking about calling in the people who have supported KPFK in the past and the ones who presently can. I know that everyone listens to Cyrus. They listen to internet radio. I mean, I myself, admittedly, on Mondays, I listen all day to Sun Radio, you know, 100.1 FM, Austin, Texas, because they aren't talk radio. They're not political. However, they are solar. And, you know, there's got to be one company, one organization who could partner with us to bring us to the year 2021 and not to lean on old infrastructure that can easily collapse, you know, with the weather. We have more sunshine than we do rain. And I think that we should take advantage of that power. for one. So I'd be happy to look into solar panel companies if someone wants to help. But I really, really want to emphasize the critical thing is having the finance and the program committee work together on one or two meetings. So that way we're not left with a bigger deficit. And that's all that I had to share this morning. And thank you for listening and being respectful. Thank you.
Thank you, Lydia. Janine is next. And then I think we'll take some time for public comment. People want to indicate stack on the phone. You can do that with *9. Go ahead, Janine.
Hi, thanks, Michael. I've been part of the finance committee for about 16 months now. And, you know, basically, I think that there's solutions for our revenue that we can put into place eventually. You know, I think that there's a lot of opportunity in online and, you know, reaching out and, you know, the programming, making changes in the programming. I think that these is all things that we've talked about, but they're not immediate solutions. You know, the audit, I recently was elected to the audit committee, and I hope that these audits can get pushed through as quickly as possible so that we can start getting our grant, you know, applying for grants again and all that. But those things are all 6 months away, 8 months away before we would see anything out of anything we would implement like that. So we've got a situation where in 6 weeks, or 2 months, we're starting to go negative. And so I think we have to come up with something right now that is going to take the pressure off and allow us to survive. And so I think at the recent, the finance meeting this past week, you know, we have over 30 paid employees. And we're not being given the information on what those positions are. You know, can some of those positions be combined? You know, not for the long haul, but even temporarily for the next 6 months until we can kind of turn things around. And so because we're not being given that information, we're not able to, you know, do our best to make the suggestions needed. So what I would say to James is that, you know, the management at KPFK have had 9 months. I'm reading what Jara is saying. They've had plenty of time to turn in a budget with a 30% reduction. So to wait two more weeks when we have 6 weeks before we're starting to go negative, to wait 2 weeks is really giving them too much room. And I think what we have to do, James, is, you know, maybe at this meeting, we can have a motion that says either a budget with a 30% reduction is turned in within 1 week, or the National Finance Committee needs to start the process of giving us a budget with that reduction. Thank you.
I want to comment a couple of things. I do see some hands up, but before we go on, I do want to say that to Lydia Ponce that there was an effort to solarize KPFK a few years ago. There was a special fund created and a grant, and unfortunately, the station premises are completely unsuitable for it. The building is shaded almost all the time because of the hillside that it's set up against. I think there might be a possibility of trying to install solar energy at the transmitter site. We should look into that. And there are ways to get solar energy from the DWP without having a solar installation yourself. In relation to what Janine just said about going negative, I think we need to recognize that we actually already have a negative cash flow. The only reason that the station has not gone completely belly up is that it's failed to make its payments to the national office for months and months, a good part of last year and almost all of this year. It's making the payment this month only because of the PPP money. Although, you know, the overall picture, as you say, would go negative cash flow, but that's only because all those accruals of what our central service payments are shown in the budget, but they're not actually paid. So the cash flow doesn't reflect that. So I'm going to go to public comment.
Yeah. Michael, could Fred here, could I say something?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you. Janine and Michael, I think Michael, what Michael was referring to is that KPFK has not paid its, even with the income that KPFK has had of about $200,000 a month on average, it has not paid any central services in the last year. Of course, we were told by the business manager that he did pay the central services for February. That was only after he got the PPP money. KPFK, we got at the National Finance Committee, we have a document, a spreadsheet from NIDA that lists all the payments on central services and payrolls and things like of that nature. KPFK had a debt of almost $400,000 in central services payment, both central services payments and I think and loans for payroll. And we had we owed NIDA on the order of $300,000. And NIDA only got paid when the PPP money came in. So KPFK's debt to central services almost equaled the amount that we owed NIDA from the national office. So that's the consequences of running a deficit of up between $80,000 and $100,000 a month for the last year. Thank you.
Michael, James.
Okay, quickly, James.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And again, I'm a guest here. I don't want to interfere, but I appreciate being here to listen. I did want to add that we've already had cash flow crises, a series of cash flow crises, which Fred just mentioned, but it involved payroll shortages. We were not able to make payroll at KPFK, and they had to go to interdivisional borrowing. They borrowed from KPFA, and they borrowed from the affiliates, the Pacific Affiliates Network, which monies, I believe, have been paid back now with the PPP. But on that bigger picture of the bigger situation, before PPP came, we were in a situation where we were facing cash flow crises. We could not lay people off because we didn't have the money to pay the severance for the people who we couldn't afford to pay. We don't want to get back into that situation after using PPP money to just maintain the salaries that we have. We need to put some of that money aside, and we need to continue with the necessary, unfortunate work that needs to be done while we can afford to pay the severance. We can't go back into a situation where, you know, as I said, we can't afford to pay people, but we can't afford to lay them off either. Because it's a law, you know, you can't just lay people off and not pay them what they're due. And as a progressive organization, we, of course, that's anathema to us.
Yeah, there was an option that was attempted and was objected to, and we lost because we didn't have accounting to back it up. It is possible in California to cut people's hours temporarily in lieu of layoffs and get that subsidized by the unemployment insurance fund, and I think that should be explored again. I think the union might be much more receptive to it this time. I'm going to go to public comment. I had Kim on the stack, and then I see Andrew Weiss and Ruth. Kim, you want to go ahead?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I have a new computer, so I just want to make sure it's working. Okay, number one, let me be clear here. KPFK's budget was already not approved by the LSB. It should have gone up to the NFC in that condition at that time. Okay, James, you should already have it. You have to do it at the NFC because Management would not do it, and the LSB did not approve it. End of story there. Now, the other part of that is the LSB has never actually reviewed it. They just disapproved it based on, you know, the Finance Committee's recommendation, and it wasn't sent today to review it. Anyways, I want to ask James something about this PRA deduction on central services. James claimed that all the $40,000 of KPFK's utility bill for 2020 went to pay for PRA's air conditioning. This is factually untrue. I mean, at the best, and even that's an exaggeration, at the most, it's 25%. But really, it's maybe 15%. KPFK has its own studios that requires 24/7 air conditioning and the rooms to keep the servers and computer stuff and the energy that goes to air conditioning the rest of the station and run the computer. So to say that all of KPFK, there are a lot of reasons to get a discount for housing PRA, that all of KPFK's utility bill went to pay for air conditioning for PRA is not one of those reasons. So where does this number come from? And, you know, it's just simply wrong. I can go on, but I'm not sure. How much time do we have? Hello?
We normally give people 90 seconds, but why don't you take another 30 seconds, and
okay.
We have four or five other people.
Yeah, I want to say that the fund rod income has been insufficient since 2019. And in fact, KPFK, starting September 2018, at that first $350K grant, it was red flag, you know, red alarm to me that KPFK was not able to pay its bills. In fact, this year, without the PPP money, KPFK is presently at $160,000 deficit as of January. I don't know where Bella got this number of 143 paid for premiums in February. I don't know if those numbers are true, but certainly even the 160K deficit, I'm sorry, 160K negative in revenue and a net of 234 for the year to date, which is it was 140 last year, but that of that 234 negative net, I would estimate, well, at least $50,000 has not been paid, because that's what the AP, the business manager, gave at the last meeting. So you're looking at least a $300,000 negative position as of January. I mean, you're already like half of last year's deficit, which was 700. And you're only a little over a quarter of a year. So what I meant to
say,
thanks, Kim. You're $160,000 worse in revenue in January compared to last year of January without that PPP money.
Yeah, as Fred said, the station is running $80,000 to $100,000 deficit a month.
That doesn't mean anything. Those are gibberish numbers because
I'm sorry. It's the same. Kim. All I'm saying is that that's
inappropriate.
Excuse me,
right,
Lawrence.
Now.
Thank you. Stop.
We listen to comment.
Yes, I'm just saying that the figures you just gave, Kim, are the same as what Fred said. $80,000 to $100,000 deficit a month over the course of 4 months is $300,000 or more in deficit. I have Andrew Weiss, Ruth, and then Margo also put a hand up. Andrew, you want to go ahead?
Andrew Weiss here. Before I start, can you let us know how many opportunities list
we have to comment, or is this the only one? Michael?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was muted. Normally we have a half hour public comment, so we'll have another chance at least for public comment in this call before we wrap up. Go ahead.
All right. First of all, I appreciate Lydia Ponce, if I'm saying her name correctly, for her forward thinking. I also appreciate all the members of the LSB who showed up today and are taking care of business and serving the listeners and being accountable. And I wonder about all those who have not shown up. And we as listeners will remember that in voting next time and not voting for them, perhaps. I also appreciate the way people are conducting business today in a very respectful way, especially James, I don't know his last name, our guest. I really appreciate that as a listener.
Sagerton.
Mr. Sagerton. We're all on the same team, I hope so. I think we have our differences. We should all be respectful always here. As a listener, and now in good standing, as I made my last monthly payment as a member last month, I will now and can vote in the for this initiative coming up, and will vote no against it. I will suspend my payments as a listener until the management comes on the air at least once a month and dialogues with the listeners, and our reports to the listeners and let us know what our money is going to and takes our input. I also think with people like Ian Masters as a programmer constantly bashing the station and being negative is really a turnoff to the station and to other listeners. And I wish he would stop or at least open up the phones and let listeners respond. And I really would hope the management would step in and put a stop to that kind of behavior immediately. I don't think it's good for the station. Thank you very much, everybody.
Okay, thanks. I have Ruth Strauss next, and then Margot Iser. And I did want to read some stuff from Hara Handala that's in the chat.
Okay, hi. First, I want to thank Mr. I don't know whether it's Mr. Osborne, James. I'm not sure I'm getting the right name, but the person who gave a very clarifying report. It was excellent. And
yeah,
that's the kind
that's
of report
the, excuse
you
me, Ruth, that's... That's James Sagerton. He's not a member of our
Okay, Sagerton then.
He's from WBAI,
okay.
But he's the chair of the National Finance Committee on the PNB.
Okay, so he did a great job. I appreciate Bella coming up with figures as well. The first thing I wanted to say is that I agree with Janine wholeheartedly. If, you know, obviously if we can't get names of people, but we must know the positions that people have and the salaries, because I think there's a lot of stuff going on in that area. So I agree that management should supply who's on the payroll without the names, what positions they are, and what they're getting paid. And, you know, one of my pet peeves is, when people are fundraising during the fund drive, is it necessary to have a second person on, like Tony Bates or Alan Minsky? Does it bring in more money if you have a second person? Well, I guess I'll just leave that out there. If it does, well, then obviously it needs to be done.
I think that it's to get people who are accustomed to pitching on the air. The management has tried to get more training, pitch training to staffers, but people who
okay,
are accustomed
well,
to do
the
it.
The people that
have.
I'm speaking of who have extra people are Ian Masters and Maggie LaPeak, and I think they've been around long enough to know how to pitch. But I'll just leave it at that. So I do think it's important to have the accounting of the employees. I also agree. I've been listening to finance meetings for 7 months. The business manager has given all kinds of crazy figures. When he's held to account, he gets belligerent. I think that if he cannot come up with the figures, he's had 7 months. If he can't come up with the figures in a week, then I think National needs to know about that. I'm not a business person, but this has gone on long enough. And so I agree that since it's time is of the essence that somebody needs to mind the farm if he's not going to. And the third thing I'll say is the cost of the fund drive. I don't know how the cost of the fund drive can almost outweigh the what is taken in, but I did say before maybe more things should be sent as links where they don't have to, you know, make CDs and sell, you know, mail CDs and stuff like that, as, you know, a way of cutting expenses. I don't know what all the expenses are, but that's one thing I thought of. So anyway, thank you very much. Thank you for all of you who worked so hard.
So I have Margo, and I have a call up hand. I'm sorry, am I still muted? No. I have a hand up from calling user 5. I don't know who that is, but it's somebody on the phone. And then we got another person on the call, calling user number 3. I had heard from Paulina that she was going to be joining. I don't know if that's her.
That's 11 here.
Oh, there you go. I see Paulina there. Okay. Calling user number 3 and calling user number 5, could you say who you are for a minute? There are two people on the phone, one who has their hand up and one who doesn't. Colin.
Can you hear me?
Who's that?
I don't wish to identify myself.
Okay, that's fine. All right, listener. And Colin, user 3? Okay, not identifying themselves. All right, Margo, go ahead, and then Colin, user 5.
Okay, I appreciate the complete and accurate revelation of all financial transactions all the time. Also, instead of continuous, intrusive, repetitious, disruptive, and ultimately repulsive own fund drives, we need to make fundraising ongoing and integrate it into regular programs which emphasize focusing on the relationship of U.S. and international events, etc., to the local community and give us what we need and want in order to participate, etc. There should be no cost for premiums. The program should be the reward. The program oversight committee needs to work with the LSB to evaluate existing and new program proposals and analyze the current ones to make the focus on supporting the existing and recruiting more volunteer programmers and staff of all ages, etc. I recommend that paid programmers' airtime be reduced or eliminated. Okay? That's my big bugging thing, is that I would rather hear what's going on here and how I can participate. And once again, I keep having to say, this morning I barely woke up in time to hear anti-war radio talking about an incredibly important topic. It squeezed in at 8:30 in the morning on a Sunday. No, that should be like a main focus. And that's there are many, many, many other programs like Ralph Nader, et cetera, was preempted during the fund drive. I want to know about what's going on here in my area of how I can participate in things that affect the national and international community all over the world, and these are the programs I want to hear more. And of course, the entertainment and the music, which is a way to connect everybody all over the world, and those are wonderful. And I'm glad that they are the intrusive fundraising all the time, in the middle of a really well planned program, is another turnoff. I mean, there's people who work really hard; they're volunteers, but they work really hard to get their programs very smoothly flowing with connectivity. And all of a sudden, honk, honk, give us your car. What? Stop it. Don't interrupt the programming. Let the programming be the reward, the quality, the high quality that's different than other stations. That should be the reward. And that is what I want to say that would save a lot of money. I hope I was spoken clearly enough that everybody could understand me, but I do appreciate you being able to make this serious. We are the ones who pay the money. We need to have a big say in where it goes. Thank you.
Thank you. I have caller user 5 next.
Okay, thanks. Good morning or afternoon, everyone. I wanted to raise again the issue of health insurance costs. I don't know what our contracts provide. I don't know whether everyone, even someone working 10 hours a week, is entitled to health care. I think that needs to be looked into. And in most of the places where we operate, in California and in New York, there are health exchanges where people can get decent coverage, perhaps similar to what they have now under the union plan. And it may make more sense to simply subsidize those costs than to pay ourselves directly for the healthcare piece. I know this has come up before. I know I have raised it before. And I want someone to take it to the National Finance Committee and have someone do a study. Oh, look, the chair is on the call. You know, and have someone do a study about what we're paying in healthcare, who we're paying healthcare for, whether we're actually a primary for most of the people who are getting the coverage, or whether by saving them, you know, maybe $300 a year, we're spending $7,000 a year. Someone needs to look at that. New York and California are very friendly states. D.C. Also has a very, you know, worker-friendly program. In Texas, I mean, obviously, Texas is a different story. We don't even know what country it's a part of. But, you know, for now, we have a radio station there, and the treatment there would have to be different. They don't even have a union. But please, look at the healthcare costs, because I think that'll make a big difference all around. Thanks.
Thank you. So I think we're going to go back to local station board members. And I'd like to hear from people who have not yet spoken. I don't see any hands, but I know that Alan Beek has put forward some ideas. Beth Van Gunten is also serving as a director, might have something to add. I'm putting a proposal for a motion into the chat. I'll be done in a minute, but...
Michael?
Bella, go ahead.
Thank you. I want to address a couple of things. It was just mentioned again, the area of health benefits, which I have been pointing out now for quite a while. So far, year to date, our health benefits, that's October, November, December, January, just barely 4 months, is at $131,129.43. And I fully agree with the caller that this needs to be reworked. This is outrageous. It is absolutely outrageous how much money this is stealing from us. We also have child care. So far is $6,090 today through January. The other thing I wanted to say is that we never receive from the business manager an accurate accounts payable aging report. What that is that a list of all the vendors, all the responsibilities that KPFK as an operation has to pay out on a monthly basis. That does not only include postage, that does not only include air conditioning, electricity, it has to include everything and everyone. And this business manager has been incapable of documenting that into the accounting system, Great Plains. So when we get anything from him, is not at all acceptable. So we operate in the blind as bats because we cannot budget ourselves. This is one prime reason why this station cannot budget itself. It does not know a number. How much do we have to pay out monthly so that we can budget, so that we can then prepare for fundraising properly? All of this is associated with an accounting system, accounting process, that certain accounting documents must be submitted to the Finance Committee in a timely fashion so that we can go over it, so that we can analyze, so we can assimilate, and then propose, etc. And this has not happened. So we have a very dysfunctional situation. And unfortunately, the LSB under its jurisdiction is strapped. We don't have that much power. We only have advisory power. And bear that in mind. So, again, that takes us to a bylaw convention that needs to be had.
but not what is being proposed. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Bella. So I said I wanted to read some comments from Hara Handala in the chat. I think they're very important, and I don't think he's able to make an audible comment. So I'll read a couple of things. He says, Pacifica needs a revolution in the treatment of money. Independently of where the money is raised, it needs to be spent where it is most needed, as specified in the network development plan. If that had been our practice, then KPFA's personnel costs would not have run out of control fiscal year 2016 through 2020, and he gave figures earlier about KPFA. KPFK's personnel costs are similarly out of control and evident from the fact that the station has not made the cuts that were mandated by the Pacifica National Board. I think that has to be carried through. So I know a number of the members of the board are on the phone and can't see this, and I'll just give one basic attribution to Hara's work, which is online. He has a blog, which is, I'll read it out to people, https://PacificaRadioWatch, all one word, PacificaRadioWatch.home.blog, B-L-O-G. And at that website, he has many, many reports from the auditors, from the National Finance Committee, from various station budgets, from the treasurer at WBAI, who is the secretary of the National Finance Committee, and a lot of those other documents I think are vital. I think we have to figure out a way that we can post the information that the Finance Committee Chair Pro Tem has sent out to the members of this body. There was a practice in the past that the financials were actually posted on the website on a regular basis by a previous general manager, and I think we should resume that. And I also agree that the National Board has mandated reports to the listener, and also local station board reports to the listener, and that has to be implemented. In the chat, I put the following request for a motion. I'm going to read what I wrote. I can't make the motion myself. I would like to solicit a motion for the LSB to recommend that cuts made so far are insufficient, and calling on the National Finance Committee, the PNB, and the Interim Executive Director to develop a budget for the remainder of the fiscal year that includes additional personnel and other cuts and expenses to assure that KPFK can proceed on a balanced budget basis for the remainder of the year. That's the second half, basically, of the fiscal year that we're in. Hang on a second. Okay, let me just finish reading it. This could include reductions in staffing and reductions in hours in lieu of layoffs that could be subsidized by the Unemployment Insurance Fund. So, hang on a second. I see another comment from her. I'm trying to get out of the thing here, and two more messages. Just a second. Okay, so I'll take that as a motion. I see Rocio seconded it in the chat.
Michael, Bella here.
Go ahead, Bella.
I wanted to say that you have been referring to the EDD, which is the Economic Development a Fund of California. They cover up to 75% of salaries in lieu of layoff. So that is a platform that has not been utilized or considered fully. However, it is not perpetual. It's for a short term, but it would be a great help to those folks that do need to be removed from the payroll. As we are going over this, we are in great deficit. We must consider that. So that would be up to 75% EDD would cover for a short term in lieu of layoff. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So I see Lawrence has a hand up, and we'll take some comment on the motion. The motion is to, again, to recommend to the NFC, PNB, and IED that they develop a balanced budget for the remainder of the year, including further reductions in staff. I have Lawrence, Beth, and then Bella. I'm not sure if your hand up is up again. Go ahead, Lawrence.
I'm going to yield to Beth because she hasn't spoken. I'll go after her if that's okay with you.
Sure. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you, Lawrence. Yes, this is Beth Von Glinton, member of the local station board, member of the national board, member also of the National Finance Committee, and host, sponsor, whatever they call it, of the National Development Task Force. And my comment has to do with accountability, financial accountability, initially from management. I think that we're significantly behind the eight ball because we can't get straight answers, timely answers, real answers to the most reasonable, legitimate, straightforward questions. And that this state of affairs has gone on since before I came onto the board. And despite my best efforts to try to call for that accountability, and if given that the power of the local station board is limited in this regard, I would look to national board and the executive director to get a hold of the situation, because right now, to me, it feels out of control. It feels like it's been out of control for at least as long as I've been around, and a while before that. When we can't get, when nobody can get current verifiable financial information, it damages our creditworthiness, it damages our credibility, it damages any hope for, it inhibits any hope for major donations or for major grants. It just puts a damper on anything, everything rather. And I don't see any good excuse for it. It's not like we don't have the personnel in place for that. I just haven't found an effective way to get accountability. So that's my two cents for the moment. Thank you.
May I be recognized, Chair? Okay, thank you. So, you know, one of the things that is one of the roles of the of a director is to conduct director's inspections, right, in regards to the finances and other matters and other records. And, you know, I would like to ask my colleague Beth Van Gunten, to join me in requesting a new inspection. There's one that's still outstanding. I've done two. But I think that's the only way we're going to be able to reconcile where all of these moving pieces are, because there's a lot of moving pieces. There's a lot of information. I believe this information needs to be chronologically categorized in order to make sense of it. And I think that would definitely help, you know, the newer members who have the skill level to be able to look at these the data. Such as Lydia, such as Corsio, to be able to look at these this information. And then in regards to the EDD employment fund, that is on the table. That has been put on the table with SAG-AFTRA, because we cannot sustain the kind of generous contract that we engaged in. And I'm a union guy, and I'm saying that, I mean, if I had a contract like that, I'd be dancing every day too, you know, and I'd be fighting not to, you know, I'd be fighting to for dear life, you know, for that contract not to be taken away. But, you know, we are in a financial crunch. We are in a financial crisis. The whole network is, unless you're from perfect KPFA, but we are in a financial crisis, and we are, you know, struggling along. And so I just caution that we just can't mention about getting rid of personnel. We have to look at expenses. And I heard Ruth come out with a great idea about premiums, you know, and how to deal with that. So I caution that you have people who are represented by unions, and, you know, we just can't focus in on getting rid of people. I think that's the wrong tack to take. So I'd like to ask Beth, and I'll definitely call you, Beth, to see if you will collaborate with me to do another director's inspection. Thank you.
Okay. Beth, you still have your hand up. And Bella, did you want to speak again?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. I wanted to just go back and clarify for the stream and for the audience that we lost our CPP funding in 2014. That's number one. And number two, our current audit is for fiscal year 2019. So if we can get our fiscal, as soon as the audit committee reconvenes, we have to put pressure on NITA. And I wanted to stress, and, you know, we pay a lot of money, regardless whether we were in arrears. We have paid a lot of money to this organization, external accounting outfit, and they do not provide us with the necessary monthly reports. I have requested them many times, and they have not. They have not reported. They are in a position to provide accounts payable reports, balance sheet, bank reconciliations, also a general ledger or a trial balance. We get nothing from them. The only thing we get from them by the second week of every other month is a consolidated P&L, profit and loss, for the entire network by unit. So we have been paying tons of money. You know why? Because our lack of internal accounting know-how. And I'm sorry to say, but I've been saying this for many years. I'll stop there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So in response to Lawrence's comment, the motion, as said, just as it could include, it doesn't specify that it must include or how many cuts should be made. If people want to add, you know, cuts in administrative expenses, programming expenses, and development expenses, I'm fine with that, you know, if you want to go into specifying. But I think it's clear that the largest share of the KPFK budget is being spent on personnel and payroll, in fact. So there's a bunch of comments in the chat about how many FTEs that KPFK has. I believe it was once up at about 31 FTEs, and I think there's been a reduction of about five. I think that Barry Brooks did report about 26 FTEs. So somebody in the chat earlier put 15. That's totally incorrect. It's much, much higher than that. It's still above 20. FTEs is full-time equivalent, so it's actually more than 20 plus members of the staff. Some are part-time.
I think you still have Beth, Michael.
Yeah, I wasn't clear. I asked Beth if her hand was still up. She's on the phone,
yes.
And sometimes it's,
yes.
You, okay, yes. Go ahead, Beth. Go ahead.
Just very briefly, Lawrence, count me in. And we can work out the particulars afterwards, but I've had that in mind myself. And so thank you for putting it out there. Count me in. Go ahead.
Thank you, Beth. Thank you. We'll get with the finance committee too. I'm sorry, Michael. Thank you. You're muted, Michael. Michael, you're
saying yes. I realize that. Sorry. I think that a director's inspection is fine and should be pursued, but I think that the LSB as a whole has its own responsibility. We were required to evaluate the first quarter of the fiscal year. I think it's very evident in the first quarter of the fiscal year that the station is continuing to operate at a deficit, and that's unacceptable. And that's even after not paying the central service requirements. The deficit is large enough that it exceeds, I think, that. So I think I would like to have further comments on the motion, and maybe we'll take some public comment if no other board members want to comment on it.
Michael, this is Bella.
Yeah.
I would like to adopt the motion and pass. If someone wants, it was seconded, but it was seconded prematurely. I would like to adopt the motion.
Well, no, it was made and seconded. It's on the floor. I'll reread it, but I'm inviting further discussion, both from the LSB. So,
okay, I would like to comment that can you please read it again, because I noticed that
yeah.
I needed. Can you read it quickly, please?
Yes, the LSB recommends that cuts made so far in the KBFK budget are insufficient and calls on the National Finance Committee, the Pacifica National Board, and the IED to develop a budget for the remainder of the fiscal year that includes additional personnel and other cuts and expenses to assure that KPFK can proceed on a balanced budget basis for the remainder of the year. This could include reductions in staffing and reductions in hours in lieu of layoffs that could be subsidized by the State Unemployment Insurance Fund.
Okay. I gave some numbers, some percentage reductions earlier from a proposed budget. I would like to submit that should be as an attachment for guidance to the PNB. Otherwise, I'm on board with everything else. But this would be a framework of how much needs to be reduced by department and by personnel, and also expected revenues of 40% reduction, so 60% retention. I also wanted to say that Kim Kaufman made some valid comments earlier regarding, even though some of the numbers were off, but at this moment, I'll just leave it there. Thank you.
Okay, Beth, is your hand up again, or you just haven't lowered it? I think it's a toggle on the phone. A star 9 lifts it and then lowers it.
It's not up now. Once I put it up, there's no way for me to take it down on this end.
Star 9.
I can put it up.
Star 9.
I've tried that, but it just puts me
okay.
on. It just confirms my
No, it's down now. It's down now, Beth. Thank you.
I said what I
And Bella, the same. Same to you for the phone, Bella. Okay, so again, the number of members of the board who haven't spoken yet, Eric, Rocio, Paul, if you have any comments that you care to make, Oscar, Paulina.
Yeah.
Who did I just hear? No. Okay, so we'll take stack again from the public comment, second round of public comment. I see Kim Kaufman. Go ahead, Kim. Kim, you have to unmute yourself.
Yes.
Star
okay.
6.
Got it. I hope.
Yeah, yes. Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, just a little history on the CPB. KPFK lost their CPB grants in 2012. Due to low listenership and low donations, it has not improved then. So any happy talk about CPB coming to KPFK, I think, is very misguided. We will never be eligible at this point. And there is so much more. And the rest of the network lost it in 2013, first for not listing open meetings. That was a big violation from the CPB. Otis redid, KPFTX and that he pretty much did it. I will comment that the PNB is very lax, or was as of a week or so ago, about listing their report outs from closed session. That will be a ding from CPB. They require that, and there's no reason why it shouldn't be complied with. And there are many other violations, for CPB. So the audits is just one part of the big picture. But I wish I was not the only one in this organization who had read the CPB regs. I'm not talking about the little bullet points, like the real regs. There's a lot of stuff in there that, Pacifica needs to be compliant with, because CPB is not willing to give money to, stations that don't have listeners and can't follow rules. There are plenty of other needy places. And I would say that a director's inspection is the only way to really understand what's going on, because the bookkeeping is problematic. It's the only way I got an understanding of it. So please go on with that. I guess that's it for right now. Thank you.
Thanks. I have Andrew Weiss and then Ruth.
Yes, Andrew Weiss here. Couple of comments. First of all, there are solutions, and one way to get to, I don't know what the solutions are myself, but I know one way to reach those solutions, find what they are, is to communicate with each other and address it. Some of us have taken it upon ourselves to increase communication. We formed the Pacifica Listener Forum, and we're going to be hosting conference calls for listeners, staff, board members, and anyone who wants to participate. You can get information at by emailing at PacificaListenerForum@gmail.com, PacificaListenerForum@gmail.com. And then secondly, there are solutions. So and KPFK and Pacifica is great station. It's awesome. And there's no reason we should be failing as we are. So if we are, we have to look at what's going on, perhaps change management. And as well, I think we need to stop being so sloppy. We need to do things such as what folks like Bella DeSoto is saying and others, that we can't be so sloppy. We should be doing reporting when we're supposed to be doing reporting. We should have the numbers that we need. We should be doing everything we're supposed to be doing. And I think we will succeed. We have awesome programming, and we have awesome staff. We have awesome people like you folks and the listeners. There's no reason we should be not thriving. So we need to, I think, take that attitude and not take the attitude that this is all acceptable to let our stations flounder. And our country and our world needs this information that we present. Thank you very much.
I have Ruth and then call in user 6.
Hi. Okay. So one thing that strikes me is I was already in a finance meeting where it came out when I asked about the net profit and net loss for per month. I was told that Allegiant, which is this new contracted company, doesn't do net. So now I'm hearing that NEDA is not putting, you know, giving the monthly reports. And I can't remember if you all said something about this planes organization, which I don't know. But these people have to supply what's necessary for the facts. And if they don't, then I don't know whether they get reported to certain boards or whatever. But that seems like that's one of the problems, is that you're not getting appropriate information. Secondly, about Ian, I don't know about whether you can or can't say things on the air about Pacifica or dysfunction or whatever, but I know that you shouldn't be promoting your own website during a fund drive, and I have told Aniel that 3 times, so good luck with somebody getting him to stop doing that. But he gives his own website even during a phone, you know, says he may be going out of business, and so please go to Ian Masters, donate or whatever. The other thing is about the fund drive. There were problems, I guess, with the call-in center being in Texas, and Barry keeps coming up with saying that it fell short because of drive time. That's ridiculous. People are not, because they're at home, putting in extra hours of work. I'm sure if they have programs that they want to listen to, they're listening to them. So I don't know the fuzzy math on why we didn't meet goal, but I don't think some of the excuses that were proffered were there. And talking about my last thing about the premiums, there could be 2-tier. You get a link for one price, you get a DVD for another that covers the expenses of sending things out. And, you know, I mean, there are other people who are smarter than me that can come up with more creative ideas. Thank you.
Thanks. Call in user 6. Someone on the phone with their hand up.
Is that me?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. I wanted to raise the consideration of
severance not being paid in full, but being paid in installments, because we cannot forever keep on staff people we cannot afford to pay on the grounds that we cannot afford to lay them off. I mean, a four-year-old will tell you that's not going to work, right? Mm-hmm. So at one point, back in 2013, and let me say this, generally I prefer it if we have reasonably staffed stations where people aren't being asked to do five jobs at one salary, of course. But I also know that sometimes things can become a bit top-heavy because it's convenient or for other reasons people are put into positions. So having made that point, I do want to say that we cannot just staff up stations and struggle about how they get paid. So in addition to the healthcare suggestion that I made earlier, I would ask that someone explore the possibility of paying severance in installments, and also that, you know, KPFK was in trouble with the CPB, which Kim might have touched on, long before the failure to file audits. So you guys need to get your hands on that letter, which goes back, I think, to 2012 or earlier, about the failure to serve the inadequate number of listeners to KPFK. Get your hands on that letter and see if those things have been addressed. I mean, things might have changed in the programming since then, but someone, you need to check all the doors, check all the boxes. Thank you.
Thanks. Colin, you're the three. I think you were identifying yourself. Did you want to speak?
I do. My name is Raymond Goldstone, and I've been listening for as long as I've been able, the last 19 months. I must tell you that there is simply no solution besides KPFK becoming a repeater station. You owe too much money. The factions are diametrically opposed, and that's why information doesn't flow either way. There's going to be a dreadful bylaws business, which costs money, not a lot, but some. There are going to be these elections again, and my question, with regard to layoffs, which, that's fine, but if we have to pay the lawyers what we've been paying them in order to lay people off, it doesn't make any difference. I mean, at the last Finance Committee meeting, someone was talking about lawyers' bills with the union. What was it, like $75,000, $80,000 that we're paying down? Does that continue if we want to lay off 3 part-time people or 10 part-time people? Because that then goes to the other line, known as deficit. My hope is that KPFK, when it goes to a repeater station status, is able to do that which it must do to get out of repeater station status. And I wish you all well. Goodbye.
Thank you, Raymond. I'm going to call myself for a minute. I do want to respond to that. I think we had the experience at WBAI where, without authorization, the interim executive director at that time shut the station down and turned it into a repeater, running content from KPFA and KPFK called Pacifica Across America. And it demolished WBAI's fundraising capacity. They stopped broadcasting any local material and in the middle of a fund drive. So luckily the station was able to recover through a lawsuit was required because they laid off all their staff without authorization and in violation of their contract. And so the station was restored and has improved its financial situation dramatically. So I think that becoming a repeater station, we already repeat too much programming. I think one of the problems with our programming, if you look at it, the entire morning block is nationally produced or syndicated programming, with a couple of minor exceptions of the show that Melina Abdullah is doing and Vic Blunt, the Blunt Report. And the same thing is true in the evening drive time block. It's all nationally syndicated programming. I think that's a major problem. And why our fundraising has declined. I do want to point out what Kim Kaufman said is true. KPFK lost its CPB funding. It was on probation for, I believe, 3 years to try to get its listenership and financial support up to the minimum required for the grant, and failed to do so. And as you know, our membership and listener support has declined steadily since then. It hasn't recovered at all. So I don't think anybody should hold out much hope of CPB money. That's why the measure is proposed, that we have a balanced budget within our own fundraising capacity. I see some hands up from board members again. So that's Janine, and then Lawrence and Bella.
Thanks, go Michael. Ahead, yeah, I just wanted to add one thing to the as long as James Sagerton's on the call here. One of the things I've suggested in the finance committee is, you know, I think that our business manager, I don't know whether he's overwhelmed with, maybe it has to do with a lot of calls to vendors to be able to beg off or you know, try to arrange payments in a different way because we're in the financial situation we are. But I really believe we would benefit from just a bookkeeper. You know, certainly Nita keeps our books, but it's very difficult for us to get financials from Nita that we need to be able to see, like, for instance, our P&L, like, who are we paying every month and how much are we paying? Not necessarily payroll, which, I mean, I would love to see our payroll and I don't need to see names, but, like, you know, what are these positions and what are they doing? And we've mentioned that already on this call, but we don't have a bookkeeper that can just simply bring up what we are making payments to. It is all very waiting to get information from Nita, and it's never an entire picture, and he's got to go back and ask, and we don't get it for another month, and then it's incomplete. I mean, it is, it's a roller coaster. It's a circus. And by simply having a bookkeeper that would just enter into QuickBooks and be able to give us some simple reports, it would mean a lot for the finance committee. And I'm talking about somebody that would maybe do it every 2 weeks for $500, you know? So anyway, if we could look at that, I think it would be a huge help. Thank you.
I'm on, right, Michael?
I see Lawrence and Bell, but Eric Jacobson hasn't spoken, has a hand up. Why don't you go ahead, Eric?
Thank you, Michael. Unless Beth objects, I wanted to read Beth the first three paragraphs you wrote early this morning, because I think they summarize very well the role of the LSB and the LSB Finance Committee in particular in relation to the finances of the station. You stated, this is Beth von Gutten's words, responsibility for KPFK finances is initially vested in management, but ultimately falls to the board. If our finances are in disarray, ultimately it is our responsibility as a board to deal with it. We're not called upon to do the bookkeeping. We're called upon to set direction, priorities, policy, the, quote, big picture items, and to oversee the work of management to assure that all is in order. KPFK's chronic financial disarray puts all of Pacifica under severe pressure. These days, we are largely viewed, our station is largely viewed as the problem child of the network. We as KPFK governance have a duty to get our house in order. Close quote from Beth von Guten this morning. And I'll just add my own postscript, which is that there's been mention of the difficulty we're having in doing appropriate cuts to personnel who are currently, and if I understand correctly, technically formerly unionized, because it's my understanding that there are no current union contracts, although some responsibilities might either morally or legally be continuing obligations from expired contracts. I understand all that. However, I think it's long past time we recognize, in terms of the big picture, and I don't speak for Beth here, just for myself, but it's long past time we recognize that the times during which it was appropriate to have a union shop at KPFK, a community radio station, nonprofit charity, after all, folks, not a commercial radio station, not privately owned. The time in which it was appropriate to have union shop in that environment is past. And for the foreseeable future, it should not be reinstated. We have very robust labor laws in California. There's a lot of protections for workers, a lot. There's incredible penalties for any wrongdoing when it comes to wage and hours and things like that. And plus, we're a progressive organization, as James Sagerton mentioned, and anything untoward in relation to employee relations would be anathema to our organization, regardless of the obligations of any union contract. So we must, I think, move beyond the idea that we should, appropriately be unionized. With all due respect, Lawrence, I think it's not a good fit for us. I don't want us to become union busters either. But I think we need to be mindful that we're in this very bad crisis in part because somebody got carried away sometime in the last decade and made us into a very strong union shop. And we're paying a heavy price now in the difficulties we're having, including the secrecy that's been mentioned. The idea that as a policymaking and monitoring board, we don't know the basic information of who does what at the station and for what pay, not the identities, but just the positions, as one of our listener call-ins stated, is ridiculous. It's something that needs to be remedied immediately, and the transparency has to be increased. I don't know that there's a way to include that in the motion, but I personally would just like to ask all concerned, including the PNB finance, the PNB finance committee, and the PNB itself, to mandate transparency about our profile in terms of the workforce at KPFK. Thank you.
Am I on, Michael?
The floor.
So
I have Lawrence, Janine, and Bella, and then I have two listener comments again, and then I would like us to think about taking a vote and adjourning it. We were already at more than 2 hours of the meeting.
Okay, thank you. I'm laser focused. I know exactly what I'm going to say. First thing I want to encourage the listeners to do is to write to the ed@pacifica.org, ed@pacifica.org. and the pnb@pacifica.org in regards to the communications motion. What the communications motion will do will develop some of the elements that my colleague Eric Jacobson just mentioned about transparency, being able to finally not just do whatever management and whatever the network wants to do in regards to listener donations, and but actually be able to listen to the listeners and be able to get input. So I think that's very important. The second thing is that severance pay is only paid to represented employees. And we have an agreement that we are partially now, in other words, we are making partial payments towards the severance packages of the employees. And I don't know if I'm supposed to share that, but I did anyway. The second thing is in regards to healthcare. That's also on the table. Now, it's easy to blame the unions, and everybody always blames the unions on why the economy is in bad shape. These cats are just getting fat. All of this stuff. And I'm tired of it. I hear it all the time. That's not the reason. The reason why there was a generous contract is because KPFK at one time, just like WBAI at one time, actually supported the network, kept the network afloat, we were able to bail out each other. So that's why you have a generous contract right now, because we were flush at that time. We were flush with million dollar fund drives that we ended early and all of that. So that's why you have these types of contracts. Don't blame the unions. It's not the unions for negotiating contracts when times are good, in times of good times. So and then the last thing I want to mention is that we are in current negotiations with the union, and if there's no impasse reached, if there's no decertification campaign in terms of decertifying the union, you cannot get rid of the union, regardless if a contract is expired or not. There are many times when I have worked on an expired contract and still negotiated in good faith, and that's what Pacifica is doing. Now, if there's an impasse, then that's something different. And I encourage my legal brother, my legal eagle brother, Eric Jacobson, to be able to look up the whole concept of impasse when it comes to union negotiations. So, again, listeners, please write to the board, write to pmb@pacifica.org, the ed@pacifica.org, to make sure that communications motion that came out of the governance committee actually gets implemented, and that the ED sends a memo to make sure that the GMs and the PDs or the IPDs or the IGMs are implemented. Thank you.
Thanks, Nice. Okay, I have Janine and Bella. Eric, is your hand back up? He's muted. Janine, go ahead.
I just wanted to make a comment about unions, because I work with them in independent film all the time. And there are union contracts that are for studios, and there are other union contracts that have negotiable wages that are in independent film. This came around about 15 years ago, and it was a way for the unions to still be involved in independent projects. So, you know, there's got to be a way in negotiating, Lawrence. I mean, I don't know who can, you know, I imagine that those are private, but, you know, it's just a shame. Either they kept the health care in place, and perhaps like the pensions are cut in half on these low budget agreements. And there's four different tiers in independent film and television. So I'm just putting that out there that, you know, you can still keep a union involved and get negotiate a much more reasonable contract with our situation. Thank you.
Yeah, so please remember that this is an open session. We're not going to be discussing any particularities of proprietary or confidential material related to personnel of a contract. And, you know, these are just ideas that people are floating. So I'm not clear if Eric wanted to speak again, then I have Bella, and then we'll take one more on the public comment, and then I'd like to move to a vote.
Okay. I agree that we should adjourn soon. I wanted to address a lot of things. Number six spoke about that letter from CPB. They were sent to KPFK and KPFT, and they were addressing the issue of the declining membership and the lack of representation reflected in the programming grid. And today we have a complete disaster, I know, at KPFK. So things began deteriorating with the CPB since 2012.
I remember I did an analysis of the full network regarding Spanish language programming, and I noticed that KPFK was the only one carrying the water in representation in that area, but still lacking in many other areas regarding the programming grid. I wanted to address the Great Plains that Ruth was confused about. Great Plains is the accounting, internal accounting system of KPFK for many, many years. Wanted to get, it's not an outside service, NETAF, any ETA is the outside service, which we have been paying a lot of money to. The other thing is that we should have never in 2009, at the beginning of 2009, worked out, got into contracts, union contracts, because we are a nonprofit. We are supported by the listeners. We have a very different format. We are not for profit. These union contracts were done in order to syndicate and put on blocks of time, strip programming certain programmers who are still on the grid. And that's the reason why this was done. It was not in a sunshine manner. It was done in private. It was done secretly without full review. And this is why I feel is wrong. This is wrong, and this is where we are today. Okay, thanks.
Jacobson, your hand is still up. I'm not sure if that's because you wanted to speak again.
No, I'm putting it down. Thank you.
No, Eric, I said. All right. I see. Okay, caller user 6, Andrew and Margo, and then we'll try to move to a vote. Go ahead, caller user 6. You have the floor if you want it. No, hearing nothing. Margo, did you want to speak again? I guess not. Andrew?
Yes, Andrew Weiss here. Three comments, first of all. As a listener, listening to this meeting today, I'm very impressed and refreshed to hear the tone has finally gone down and everybody's being quite respectful. And I appreciate that for those who are present today, the LSB members and the callers calling in, and perhaps those that are MIA, missing in action, who decided not to show up today, perhaps they should stay away from board meetings in the future. Secondly, as far as Mr. Reyes, Lawrence Reyes, your comment, I would agree. This communications motion passed by the Pacifica National Board is very important. I would like if you could clarify what's involved in it. As far as I understand, it's mandating that all general managers start immediately doing regular ongoing reports to the listener, dialogues to the listeners with call-ins to the listeners to give input, as Mr. Reyes is suggesting. So if you can clarify that and anything else that's involved in that, and I think all listeners should email the interim executive director ED and insist that be carried out as well as the PNB. And thirdly, I forget now. So thank you very much all.
This is Margo, and I was having just a little time fidgeting with my keyboard. I have the comments that is, I first of all appreciate this really great opportunity to participate in such a direct way. And I want us to remember that we have and should utilize economic and financial experts such as Richard Wolf and Robert Rice are available to help us formulate a way to run KPFK Pacifica, which would be beneficial to all and set an example to others. And I think that should be, they should be utilized, they should be
fucking
asked, they
idiot.
Should probably be willing to even have an on-air program, et cetera, to really go over all the options of various kinds of ways of running organizations and corporations, et cetera, et cetera. So I hope that we could take advantage of that. That would be just wonderful to show, hey, this is a nonprofit organization and it's not going to be run like a profit corporation and here's an alternative and everybody could be getting their needs and wants met in a way that's beneficial to all. So I hope that we can utilize that. Thank you. I hope I spoke slowly enough. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. I see a hand up from a caller ending in 3024, area code 310. Go ahead.
Hi, it's Ruth. I was just going to say, I know that there is a push for more local programming, more unpaid programming, and I think that's fine, but I did want to put in that I was privy to some totals from the previous fund drive, or not this recent one, but previous ones, and those block syndicated programs such as Democracy Now!, Margaret Prescott, Ian Masters, et cetera, are the biggest fundraisers during the fund drive. So I just wanted to put that in. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So I would like to move to a vote, if that's okay with the board members, and then wrap the meeting up.
Michael, this is a listener sponsor who says that it's not fair to judge those block programmings as being the ones that raise the most money. It's because they dominate the airwaves. They do not give any other programs the time to pitch, and they repeat and repeat and repeat. So it's really unfair. Ruth, I understand that you're saying that, but I do believe that they should not be. That should not be the criteria for judging which programs should stay on air, et cetera. Thank you very much.
Michael?
Yes, go ahead, Bella.
Michael, this is Bella. I appreciate Margo's clarification in that. That is precisely what I was going to address, which is why I said that these contracts, union contracts, in 2009 were initiated, is to give huge blocks of airtime to a handful of so-called, they were classified as producers, because once you give them a large block of airtime, a strip programming, then they qualify for union contracts. And that was the reasoning behind that. And we have stuck with that, and this has come back to haunt us. And these strip programmers are given all the resources, dedicated resources, and assistance. And this costs our station a lot of money. And so this is what we need to rethink. We simply cannot continue in this path. So if you allocate and you factor in how much time each of those programmers have on air to raise such an amount of money, then you understand. And then the cost, factor in the cost of the premiums onto that, then you see that the reality is very different. While everybody else is preempted, and even programs that Margo mentioned earlier this morning, the anti-war report with Horton, we have programs that should be brought into the sunlight. Instead, they're given a half hour, and they're an obscure time slot. If we bring those programs forward, we would be shifting away from where we are and eliminate as much as possible of the external pre-recorded programs that dominate our airwaves. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to... No, we're not going to. We have to vote on the motion. I'm going to reread the motion and ask for a vote. Thank you. So the LSB recommends that cuts and expenses at KPFK made so far are insufficient, and calls on the NFC, PNB, and IED to develop a budget for the remainder of the fiscal year that includes additional personnel and other cuts and expenses to assure that KPFK can proceed on a balanced budget basis for the remainder of the year. This could include reductions in staffing and reductions in hours in lieu of layoffs that could be subsidized by the State Unemployment Insurance Fund. So that's the motion. And
I move for an amendment.
Okay, what's your amendment?
The amendment would be to put a time frame on when they should do that by, and I would suggest the end of the month.
Okay. Second. Any objection to that? Any objection to that?
Michael.
All right, hearing none.
Michael.
Okay, hang on a second, Lawrence. Go ahead, Bella.
I offered an amendment earlier on. Do you remember? To attach the proposed budget adjustment from the Finance Committee.
Okay, is there any objection to that? Hearing none, we'll incorporate that as well. Lawrence?
Yeah, my question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Fred, were you objecting?
Yes.
Okay, is there a second objection? Do you want to speak to your objection, Fred? And,
I still have a request for information, Chair.
Yeah, hang on. All right, with only one objection, I think we'll attach that. It's only a recommendation or advisory attachment.
A framework.
Lawrence, what's your question?
My question is, Chair, how is that going to get transmitted? Do you want one of the directors to have it placed on the agenda, on the next VMB regular meeting agenda? Or are you going to communicate that to the chair himself?
I think normally the secretary sends these things, so the directors are certainly welcome to carry it as well. The secretary can send it to the secretary of the foundation and to the ED.
I'll be willing to carry it as a director and request to put it on the agenda. But you should also communicate that to Alice Steinberg, the chair. So.
Yeah. Okay, we can send to the chair of the PNB. The chair of the NFC, I think, is still on the call here, so he's aware. We'll send it to the ED. And
Michael,
go ahead, Paulina.
Please copy me as the PNB secretary.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll send it to the secretary and the.
I'm Michael, sorry, Paulina. I forgot all about you.
Yeah, Michael, go ahead, Beth. Okay, hang on a second.
I just wanted to point out that both Fred and I are members of that national committee.
Right.
And, I'm sure I can speak for both of us in saying that we're committed to carrying this through. So I've waited a long time for this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm sorry. There is a message from Robert Payne in the chat. He finally managed to zoom into the meeting. He had many difficulties. He has no microphone and no camera, but he will vote via the chat function. So before you speak, James, there were two amendments made. One was to put a time frame of the end of this month of March, which would be the end of the second quarter of the current fiscal year, so that by the end of the second quarter, we'd have a budget for the remainder of the fiscal year, the third and fourth quarters. And the other one was to attach recommendations from the local finance committee as you know, suggestions to how that could be accomplished. James,
Chair,
you had something, Sagerton?
Chair, I have a point of personal privilege, real quick. I'm a stand down on the on my suggestion and support Beth. She's on the finance committee, and I think that's the appropriate venue anyway.
Okay, hang on a second. The secretary of the LSB will send it to the ED, the chair, and the of the PMB, the secretary of the foundation, and you know, obviously it's going to be taken up in the NFC. What was your Fred? You went to the floor.
Yeah, I was objecting to Billa's addition of recommendations on the budget. There's no budget at this point to recommend changes to. So I'm still objecting to her adding on the a budget to this recommendation.
Okay, so the motion calls for the NFC to adopt a budget and the PMB ED to adopt a budget for the rest of the year that is balanced. And those were some suggestions about how to achieve that balance. It doesn't say there is a budget in existence. That's the problem, is we don't have a budget in existence, and we're trying to get such a budget for the rest of the year that will be abided by, obviously.
Yeah, but I support your general motion.
Okay, thank you. Kim Kaufman points out in the chat, there's a budget for management. It's bad, but it's where you start. There was a budget that was proposed. It was not approved by the LSB or not recommended by the LSB to the NFC. It went to the NFC with, you know, on that basis. And, you know, they'll have to change that budget to come up with a balanced one, because that one was still not balanced. And we have a lot of 6 months of actuals that, you know, are not the same as what was in that budget. So I see another hand up from Eric. Yeah. Go ahead, Eric.
I regret we're not hearing from Alan Beek, because I've been following his commentary through the emails, and I'd like to get his perspective on Bella's suggestion. I'll just say that I'm a little bit uncomfortable having us append anything, because it will imply that it's a, you know, a very considered recommendation of our entire LSB, or at least the quorum that's here. And I haven't personally had a chance to delve into it. If Alan and Bella concurred on it, that would be different. But I'm not hearing from Alan and Paul for whatever reason.
I think Alan seems to have fallen off the call. I don't see his name anymore. Sometimes his phone runs out. The budget that is being referred to was one that was based on Alan's document. Alan and Bella consulted on it. Some, there was brief discussion of it at the NFC, not very much, at the local finance committee, not very much. I think it's being appended as, you know, FYI. It's
well, essentially, with that explanation, that's the one that had the one on the right, where he put that this is my best guess or something. That's the document we're talking about. I forget the term he used, but
I think so. Yeah. It's basically looking at what the cuts would amount to without specifying how those cuts could be made.
With that explanation, if that's the document in question, I guess I'm okay with it, but I'll just be agnostic about whether it's a good idea for us to include
it. It's not.
I won't do a further objection. Thanks.
Okay. It's not a budget. It's a suggestion about what the cuts would amount to from the previous budget. I think people have to get much further into the actual expenditures and income and, you know, and so on, point, you know, line by line and item by item.
Michael,
James, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I've heard a lot of interesting comments, a lot of leads to good information, and I'm just wondering how I can get a copy of this recording so that I can follow up on some of that. You know, in the National Finance Committee, we determined that we would take whatever financial information we could get in cobbling together budgets in situations where they weren't forthcoming in the usual process. So I'd like to follow up on some of the, again, suggestions from some of the people.
So thank you. So this meeting has been streamed live over KPFTX, as far as I know. And if it's not automatically recorded there, then Janine can, forward the recording for posting. I did save the chat, which had a lot of interesting information and links, and I will make it available to everybody. And I'd like Janine to – Eric, are you raising your hand again? No. Okay.
No,
Janine, could you call the roll on the motion? Or let me ask if there's any objection, I guess, first. Robert Payne said he would vote in the chat. So, Robert, if you're objecting, can you so indicate in the chat? I don't see anything, but why don't you call the roll just in case, Janine?
Okay. So this is a yes in support of your motion to...
Yeah, so the motion is amended with a March deadline and an attachment of the suggestions from the local finance committee.
Okay, thank you. Michael Adler?
Yes.
Alan Beek? I don't think we have him. Fred Blair?
Yes.
Sandy Childs is not here. Bella DeSoto?
Yes.
Thank you. Jan Goodman is not in attendance. Eric C. Jacobson?
Yes.
Thank you. Velia Jones, Ali Lexa, Barbara Marbach are not in attendance. James Osborne, is he back on the call? I don't think so. Robert Payne?
Yeah, he typed in the chat, no objection.
Okay, thank you. Lydia Ponce?
Yes.
Thank you. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Thank you. Rocio Rivas?
You're muted, Rocio. Yeah, there you go.
Thank you. Paul Roberson?
I don't think I see Paul any longer on the call.
Yeah, he was on the call earlier. I am a yes. Janine Roan is a yes. Mansoor Sabah is not on the call. Oscar Ulloa? He may have fallen off the call as well.
No, I see his iPhone there. Oscar, you have to unmute.
Star 6.
I think he's on the iPhone as a computer, you know, functioning as a computer. It's not showing the phone symbol. Just have to unmute or proceed. I see a second note from Robert Payne says, I vote no on advancing the suggestions to senior management. So you can just record him as a no, I guess.
All right. So he was originally no objection, and now he's a no. Is that correct? Okay. Okay, so I'm changing him to a no. Oscar, I just texted him to see if he could do his vote by text to me.
Oh, he's unmuted.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Oscar. What was your vote? Oscar? I heard something, but I couldn't hear what it was, and he's not muted. Oscar, can you repeat your vote? Yeah, muted again.
Okay, well, if he can look at his phone, I've started a text with him. If he wants to, I can share it with you, Michael, his response. We have Polina Vasilyas.
Yes.
Thank you. Beth Van Guten?
Yes.
Thank you. Harvey Wasserman and Kiana Williams are not with us on this call. So we, out of our 11 votes, we have 10 yeses and one no.
Chair votes yes.
Okay. 11 and one. Do we need to see if any of these other folks have popped up? Oscar and
Oscar.
Or
Oscar, can you try unmuting or typing something in the chat?
Or
texting? What was that, Beth?
Or email.
Yeah, the email. Okay.
Oscar, toca la toallita y
chair.
El
Chair Paulina, I just got a text from Oscar. He says he's voting yes.
Okay, thank you, Paulina. We'll accept that.
Thank you.
Okay, so I think that completes our business. Recorded as, what was that, 12 yes, 1 no? Is that right, Janine?
Correct.
Okay. Go ahead.
Michael Bella here. Could you please send the motion via email? I have not seen it, and those on the phone have not seen it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I put it in the chat, but obviously people on the phone haven't. We will email it. I'll email it to Janine, and she can forward it again to everybody. All right. So I think we stand adjourned. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks, James.
Thank you all very much.
Michael, did we have
it, Brother James?
Michael, did we have a time certain for adjournment?
We didn't set one, but we only had the one. We had the only one business item, so.
Okay, thank you.
All right, this is just the comment that was put in the chat from Hara Handala. The fiscal year 2020 average payroll cost at KPFK seems implausible. But $2.093 million divided by 26, $80,500 albeit with some being severance costs. So that seems like a very high amount to me as well. Payroll costs, I think, includes also benefits and health insurance and child care and a lot of other things besides the actual salary. So it could be accurate. There are also in the payroll, there are people who are on as consultants who are not on the actual paid staff. And he says, thanks, guys. Why would anyone think the ED and directors have the will to impose centralized control? So just to say that this is not per se centralized control. It's saying that the budget that has been offered by the local station management is not correct and has to be a correct budget has to be adopted. All right. Thank you. We're going to say the meeting is adjourned. And I'll save the chat one last time before we close it out.